Welcome to Metaphysical Soul Speak. I'm your host, Elena Fox Starks. Hey guys, welcome to Freaky Friday. That's right, instead of Weird News Wednesday, I'm going to do it this week on Friday, and I'm going to call it Freaky Friday. I am going to bring to you news stories of the past couple weeks that are weird and freaky. And not only on the Earth, I've got a couple things about space as well. So before I get into that, because it's Freaky Friday, a few things. First, today in Cuenca, Ecuador, marks in history, and I don't know how long ago, the War of Pichincha was won. I don't even know what that is. I'm assuming it's against the Spaniards, maybe? Or maybe when the Cañaris kicked out the Incas? One of the two. Or when the Incas kicked out the Spaniards. In any event, the Cañari people remain here, and for the most part, this was a slightly conquered territory, but not completely, I guess. I don't know. It's the effects of the conquistadors. It's not as strong. I don't feel it as strong here as I did like when I was in Lima. Most of the people I knew just absolutely, they had nothing to do with the church. They were really angry about it. 500 years later, still angry. And here, you know, it's like people get annoyed by it, but they go, it's over. You know, seems to be the general consent of the people I've talked to a little bit about it. But because it's a mark, today marks the anniversary of the War of Pichincha. All day long, there's these massive booms. They blow cannons. It'll be like boom, and then out of nowhere, and then an hour later it'll be like boom, boom, and then a couple hours later. So I expect for the next 24 hours, every few hours, people will just be lighting like cannons off. And the cannons are owned by the Catholic churches here, which is really strange. And the fireworks have been super phenomenal in my neighborhood. People buy personal fireworks and they set them off and the whole neighborhood sees them, and it's just another wonderful holiday in Ecuador. I love it, but also I have PTSD, so I jump every time and it's just so got my heart started a few times. All right. The Ascension symptom scale today is 99. We have not gone down one iota. In fact, maybe be like 99.75. I mean, I don't know. It's just 99. But it's extreme. I got another Freaky Friday story for you guys. Actually, that one isn't so freaky, but it's weird that they, you know, mark the end of a war with cannons going off every few hours. But I slept at a decent-ish hour last night, and I woke up at about 10:30 in the morning. So it was a pretty decent time, and I took my shower and got out, and I was like, okay, I'm going to get my coffee now. And all of a sudden, I was so tired. Another one of those ascension naps. Overwhelmed by cosmic energy pouring in, and I lay down on my bed for a bit. I figured, well, I'm going to put my head on a towel, let my hair dry a little bit. And I just laid here, put my blanket over me, and I fell fast asleep for 2 hours, almost 2 hours. And what woke me up was a being standing in my room that I could not see, speaking in a language out loud that I definitely could hear. And I can't even begin to duplicate it. It was really strange. I had my phones next to me and they were off. I had my laptop in front of me and I was getting ready to look at a thing about extraterrestrial disclosure. And I couldn't get my internet to play it because my internet was with my laptop doesn't pick up on the internet signal too well. So I was trying to get it to play for like 5 or 10 minutes. And it was like, I have to fall asleep. Forget it. I lay down. And so nothing, not one thing because of the internet sitch, not one thing on my laptop would play. So literally there was nothing. My kid was downtown. He's finally healthy again. Today he woke up, felt great. And then the first thing he says is, Mom, I've been craving ribs for a week. Can I go buy barbecue ribs? And I'm like, oh my God. This kid's been eating rice for like a week, only rice and chicken noodle soup or chicken soup, no noodles, except for the night we ordered Chinese food. So he has not been eating exciting food and he had to go get spicy barbecue ribs. I'm like, oh my God. All right, fine. Here's some money. Enjoy your ribs. So he's been basically eating his way all over town today. And so, which is good because he's awfully thin and he got thinner during the past week. So I'm good. I'm glad with that. But anyway, so he was gone. There was all the people in this building work a normal job. So it was during the day and I'm probably one of the only people in the whole building. And I just hear this voice in my room. And as soon as I started open, I heard it and I'm like, what the hell? And I started to open my eyes and it was still plenty, you know, it was like the voice, the person was still talking to me. And then I was like, what? And I sat up and I looked around my room and I felt someone standing in front of me. He felt, I'd have to say 7 feet tall, and I just got an impression that he was blue. And I think he might have been Arcturian or Arcturian, as some people say, but I think it's Arcturian. And it was weird. He stopped talking, and then I just felt like he quickly left. Like it somehow freaked him out. I don't know. And then I got my shoes on and I went over to my window and the clouds were really freaky again, really weird. I started taking pictures just in case. I figured I'd see something later. And then I noticed the outline, the line again of a rectangular craft that was completely cloaked except for the line. It was barely detectable, but with my phone, I could detect it. In almost the same position that it was before. And once again, on the outside of the ship, there was a cloud shaped like an ET. And on the actual ship itself, there was a cloud shaped like an ET. And it looked like he was looking at me, like directly at me. I got pictures. I have already posted it both on my Facebook and on my personal Facebook page, as well as my Instagram at mermaidgirl888 if you want to go see those pictures. I put a bunch of pictures there. I did not explain where, but it's in the, I think the fourth or fifth picture is where you'd see it. But the clouds were freaky. It's like if you could take every kind of cloud there is, throw them in a box and shake them up and then throw them into the sky and see what sticks. That's what the sky looked like. That's exactly what it looked like today. Beautiful blue sky and really strange clouds again. But like 5 or 6 different kinds of clouds, but not one cumulus cloud in sight until the evening. And then we had a glorious striped night again, right when the sun was going down. It was pink, and then it was blue, then it was pink, then it was blue. And we had a striped sky once again. And it was absolutely glorious. And when the pink left, then the hot orange clouds were there. And then these gray clouds rolled in, and they were kind of gray, but then I noticed that they had the energy of cobalt blue again and gold. So cobalt blue and gold was the energy in the sky this evening. Pretty, pretty trippy. So, I mean, I wake up, I hear an ET in my room talking to me out loud. I heard it with both my ears. Sometimes I hear them, but in my mind, like they're telepathing. This guy was not telepathing. It was out loud. I was like, whoa. Like, I kind of want them to just like knock on the door, ease me into it. Just don't show up. Right after I've taken a shower, thank God I had clothes on. I mean, the whole thing is, well, it was freaky. Freaky for Freaky Friday. All right, guys, I'm going to take a quick break. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I forgot to read you the Schumann Resonance. Possibly the most important thing for the day. All right, 7:30 a.m. UTC time. It says, even today, we will probably see the same pattern we have been seeing for several days. Today's activity started at 3 UTC, and after 4 hours of gradual increase, the amplitude reached its maximum up to 72 hertz at 6:40 UTC. And then at 1700, it says, once again, after the peak at 72 hertz previously reported, we saw a gradual decline towards normal values that lasted about 3 hours. In total, today's activity lasted for 7 hours. So that's why, if you're feeling the ascension symptoms pretty much, you're having ascension naps like I just had today, that's why. A lot more healing on the heart chakra. That's been going on. It's continuously going on. It might send people on edge because they don't want to have the memories they're having or the feelings they're having. People are being confronted with issues like repeated, like the situation you had like years ago that hurt your heart. Those kinds of situations will be attracted to you right now if you have not yet cleared and resolved it. So if anyone was in your face today, that might be something you need to clear. So that's kind of a thing that's been going around. So, all right, I'll be right back. Please let my message play. And you're going to maybe want popcorn for this one. You might want to let it play, go grab some popcorn, go grab, I don't know, piece of honey toast. I don't know what you guys do. Hot chocolate, tea. I don't know. No soda. Soda's not good for you. Oh, speaking of not good for you, my son comes home and he says, oh, look what I found. And he hands me wild berry Skittles. We don't get American candy down here in Ecuador very often, except for like Hershey's products for some reason are always here. But Skittles, we never see. And we haven't had Skittles in like 6 years or something, except in Lima once or twice and then in Mexico. But, you know, we don't see them very often. And so I got the Skittles and I poured out, and I had like 10 of them or something, and I poured them out of the bag, and, you know, because we shared. And then I took a picture of it. I'm going to put it up on my Instagram. It says, contiene transgénicos. They label everything if it has transgenic, modified organisms, GMOs. Everything is labeled here in Ecuador, and only imported stuff will be GMOs, that nothing's allowed to grow here that is genetically modified. So I just thought it was interesting. Also, on the back it says, Alto in azúcar, we know it's high in sugar. And medio and grasa, we know, really, there's fat in these? Medium fat, okay. No contiene sal. Okay, there's no salt in these. I did not know. There was no salt in Skittles. But what's really freaky is Skittles, they say, taste the rainbow, right? So, taste the rainbow. Well, I just put on my phone today a unicorn picture. It's a cartoon of a unicorn pooping out a rainbow. And so I'm like eating the Skittles, and then I saw my phone. I went, wait a minute, why did you buy these today? Oh, it's so freaky. I'm eating unicorn poop. Okay, it's probably unicorn poop is probably better for you than Skittles. So I'm not telling anyone to go buy Skittles because they're not that good for you. And I'm gonna have a banana in a minute, and I want to go downtown and get fruit tomorrow because gotta make up for this. This is crazy. Usually I eat fruit, not semi-fruit flavored candy. Okay, anyway, I'll be right back. Okay, these stories for Freaky Friday are in no particular order. They're just freaky stories. I got a lot of this information from Shanti Universe, who got it from the news and various sources. Thank God for her, because she does save me a little bit of time. So, also I got some stuff from Secure Team 10. Also, both of those channels, by the way, are on YouTube, and Skywatch Media was the third one. So those are the three channels today where I got my information, in case you want to do your own research or further investigation of any of these freaky stories. Okay. In Antarctica, scientists have discovered a cavity underneath the Thwaites Glacier. Or Thwaites, I don't know how to say it. Thwaites, I don't know. T-H-W-A-I-T-E-S, I don't know. Anyway, underneath the Thwaites Glacier, they found a cavity, an open space of 15 square miles. It's 984 feet deep. It is as deep as the Chrysler Building in New York is tall. And this 15 square miles is like two-thirds the size of Manhattan, the island Manhattan in New York. It is so big and so deep that you could easily put in 14 billion tons of ice in this hole. The problem with this hole in Antarctica is that it's underneath the Thwaites Glacier, and the Thwaites Glacier is a massive glacier, and it looks like it's melting, and that's what is causing the hole, they think. But this glacier is holding back all the other glaciers from falling into the ocean and melting. This was the one that they felt was, you know, kind of like a gate holding everything back. And because this hole is underneath it and is growing bigger, you know, all it's like getting bigger and bigger, they're worried that if this glacier falls into the ocean, it will increase the rise in the oceans by 2 feet. 2 feet, 24 inches. That's huge. That's a lot. If you guys go by centimeters, it's a lot more than 24, and so you might want to get out your calculators. So, in the mathematical formula for that is 1 inch equals 2.54 centimeters. So, if the ocean rises by 2 feet, I think Los Angeles is what, 1 foot above sea level? This might be a problem. So that's my first story. That's an Earth-related story about Antarctica. Here is a fun story about Jupiter. Now, we all know and love Jupiter, and we know it has a big red spot on the side of it. And we've been seeing that image for dozens of years, right? But when they started looking at the red spot on Jupiter, it was so big that they could have fit three Earths inside that red spot on the side of Jupiter. Jupiter is massive. It's a planet that's expanding. It's an incredible expanding planet. So my old roommates, they used to have a cat named Jupiter. And after they adopted him, they found he had been thrown out of a car. He was thrown out of a moving car on the freeway in Los Angeles right after the earthquake hit. The big one, like in 1994, the one that I was in. We lived on the epicenter, actually. And so they're going down to their friend's house, and this cat was thrown out. So they adopted him that week. And he was eating so much, they kept getting bigger and bigger. So they named him Jupiter, the incredible expanding cat. Okay, has nothing to do with anything, but it's a freaky story, right? All that's a freaky story. Okay, so Jupiter's great red spot used to be able to fit three Earths inside it, but now it has been unraveling, like these red streamers are like clouds and they're coming off of the sides of this thing, and it's gotten skinnier. I don't know if that's because the planet is expanding, or if suddenly something's happening with the weather. I mean, it's been there for like 40 years and suddenly this cloud is moving. It's kind of freaky, right? Well, now it's only big enough to hold one Earth. So that's weird. I don't know what to say about that. It's just the cloud itself is shrinking and the streamers are unraveling. They're like curling away. They're like kind of curling up and then moving away. And then there's more red streaks going around the planet now from that red cloud. So I don't know what to make of that, but I thought it was interesting. Now, I have told you guys about all the plagues over the past month or so. I've been talking about the plagues that have happened. You want to get into biblical prophecy, end of the world prophecy, you know. I told you guys about a lot of things are happening that kind of fit in with what the Bible says in Revelations. And a lot of people are freaking out, especially people that are maybe Christian, but not totally spiritually awake. Like they're religiously awake, but not 100% aware of the fact that we are all ascending like Jesus did. A lot of people expect that Jesus is going to come back and somehow just massively take us up to heaven. In the Quran, it says in the end times that a giant hole will open up in the earth and we will be able to look down into it and see hell, and God will come down and judge us, each and every one of us, weighing our good deeds versus our bad deeds. And if we have more good deeds than bad, we will be spared. And then we will watch all the people that have bad deeds go into the pit, and they're going to go to hell, and we're going to watch them suffer for a while to know, witness their suffering or witness their punishment. And it's a fairly terrifying chapter of the Quran, if I must be honest. It's really, really terrifying. But then the rest of the people, we all get to go up to heaven together, and they're calling it Jinnah, the garden. And we will, not Jinan, but Jinnah. And we will go to Jinnah, and we will all be together. And not just Muslims, all everybody. Even atheists that did good deeds go to heaven in the Quran, which is why I became a Muslim in the first place, because it felt all inclusive of other people, regardless of what their religion was. It even says in the Quran that I read first that God really doesn't judge people based on their religion. He judges them based on their deeds. So I hopped a couple timelines since then. And the last time I had a conversation about this, it turns out that the Quran in this timeline, or the one I was in then, I don't know which one I'm on now, did not have that at all. In fact, the whole reason I became a Muslim, five or six things were changed in the Quran. And by the way, the Bible's also been changed. I'm going to have to do a Mandela effect, though, because it's pretty, there's, I'm going to have to do a couple shows on the Mandela effect. And then I'm going to give you my theories on what I think it might be. But who the heck knows? It's just freaky, freaky, freaky. So I've been going through all this stuff about, you know, what kind of leads us to believe that maybe we're in the end times. All the Hopi prophecies have already come true, although I don't know what happened. If the dancer took his mask off in the square this last spring, I mean, dollars to donuts, I think it might have happened. Probably no one thought about it at the moment. I'm sure someone's got a picture of it. It'll eventually be up on the internet and people go, oh my God, that's the final Hopi prophecy. Oh gosh. And the Blue Star Kachina is supposed to come. My girlfriend Rainey sent me a picture of a dolphin cloud. I'm going to be posting that on my website soon. And that has above it what looks like a green planet, like the blue planet I told you guys about like a week ago. So I thought that was very weird. Anyway, so all these signs, we're in the end times. Well, check this out. Monica Aramayo took a photograph in San Salvador de Hoyo in Argentina. And this picture is an image of Jesus. And his arms are outstretched and he has a crown on his head. And it looks like he's wearing a long white robe. And it's just an image of the sun coming through the clouds, but it's really, 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 really obvious. It looks identical to the Christ the Redeemer statue in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Okay? Now, what's really freaky to me about this is that, I mean, you guys know me. I see things in the clouds all the time. Today, I saw an ET in the clouds. And the cloaked ship, and I have proof, and I put it on Instagram. Not everyone's going to be able to see that, and that's okay. But I saw it, and it's like I know it's there, right? But this picture is so obvious, and everyone that sees it's like, oh yeah, except some people can't see it at all. Some people go, oh, all I see was just sun and clouds, but it doesn't look like anything to me. It looks identical to that statue. And I, in the Quran and in the Bible, and I think possibly in the Torah, it says that only the people that have the eyes to see something will see it. And the signs will be given in the heaven. In the Quran, it says the signs will be given in the heavens. And only the people that God gives the sight to can see it. And the ears to hear the things. You know, and Jesus said that. Those that have eyes to see will see. And those that have ears to hear will hear. You know, and I'm not trying to promote any religion or any two or three religions. I'm just saying, in these ancient books, it did say that. Now, I don't know. I'm sure there's other ancient books, maybe from India, that say the same thing. Maybe from Asia. You know, I don't know because I haven't read those books. But I thought that was freaky that people cannot see it, that they don't get it, they don't believe. Whereas other people are like, oh, it's the holy sign I've been praying for. I can't believe it. At least Jesus is going to be with us on our final days. Like the believers of, like in the Christian faith and the Catholic faith, people are like, oh, and they feel so relieved because they can see it. Right? Okay, so that's the first one. The second one is back in March now in Italy over the sea at sunset time. Alfredo Abruzzo photographed the exact same image. It looked like in the outline of Jesus. He's standing in a robe. His arms are outstretched. It looks identical to Christ the Redeemer statue in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And he felt a great deal of like hope. like a ray of light inside of him when he saw this. It looks more like Jesus on the cross in this one, but it's pretty like. You guys need to go see this. Go to Shanti Universe channel on YouTube. I also heard about this on Skywatch Media. It's all over. It went viral. Both of these went viral. Pretty freaky, though, that it's happened now twice. I bet it's happened more, but people haven't uploaded it to the internet. I bet it's going to come again. Jesus is coming back again. Oh, he's just a cloud in the sky with sun. I'm just kidding. You know better. You heard my, y'all, if you have been listening to me for a while, you have heard my brother Yehoshua channeling and how and when and why he's coming back. So, all right. Now, before we get too religious here, because I don't want to have a religious show, this is metaphysical soul speak, not religious soul speak. This is a really super fun story off the coast of Africa. Over the past 6 months, they've had unusually weird seismic activity. And it's been so big that it has created and caused a seismic hum that has been heard around the whole world. And no one could have explained it. But now we have an explanation for that extremely low frequency hum that everyone has been hearing over the past 6 months. Okay, this is what happened. We now have the newest and largest underwater ocean volcano. Bigger, better, now improved, all for you. Off the coast of Africa. Between Mozambique and Madagascar, there lies an island called Mayotte. This volcano came from the bottom of the surface of the ocean, and it came up a half a mile from the surface of the ocean. I mean, not the water part, I mean the sand part underneath the water. It rose a mile up, half a mile up. Okay, not a mile, half a mile. But still, half a mile is pretty freaking big. So it rose up about 31 miles off the coast of this little island, Mayotte, which is in between Madagascar and Mozambique. Well, this is the largest underwater volcano on the planet now, and it just was born. And scientists were really scratching their head about the 1,800 earthquakes that were reported in the region in the past 6 months, including a 5.8. That's enormous, right? In May of 2018, that's enormous for a place that never, ever, ever, ever has seismic activity. And suddenly they're getting 1,800 earthquakes in 6 months. So this is the largest amount of earthquake activity ever in the region, the largest underwater volcano on the planet. And they knew that was a clue that something was happening, you know, like these earthquakes. It's like, it's a clue something's happening, but we just don't know what. Well, when it freaking erupted, that's when they figured it out. Yeah, that thing burst itself in 6 months and then erupted under the ocean. Really, really weird, right? So I just thought that was super, super freaky. Oh, when it erupted, by the way, the island of Mayotte moved a few inches southeast. It blew an island over a few inches. is freaky, freaky, freaky stuff. I don't know. It just, I love this kind of stuff because it's completely like, what? I can't believe it. I mean, I thought all the, you know, volcanoes creating themselves. I think the last time I heard this happening was in a farmer in New Mexico. I want to say it was in 1947 or 67. It was a long time ago. He was in his field and he felt an earthquake and he looked up and a volcano came up out of nowhere on his land and then erupted. Like the whole mountain just whoop, boom. Half his crops were gone. He's like, what the hell? Pretty weird, right? I can't remember what year that was. I'll have to look that up and tell you the whole story someday because that was a really freaky one. Okay, well, this is another biblical sign, guys. Here's another end time prophecy. In Iran, off the coast of Iran, the island of Hormuz is surrounded by water that is now blood red. The blood red sea is extending between Saudi Arabia and Iran. And they do not know what happened. They don't know what caused it. They are kind of suggesting they believe it's red algae bloom, but without scientific exploration of the problem, they can't really say for sure what it is. But, okay. After plagues of locusts just went through there, and now the seas are turning red? I mean, you know? It's kind of a sign, guys. Now, when I first got together with my husband, I think I did mention this dream before, but I had a dream. I woke up sweating and like beads of sweat pouring down my face, and I was like breathing heavily. I was freaked out, and it was like 6 a.m. and he's like, what? I just had a prophetic dream and I'm kind of freaked out about it. And I saw an island, and I saw that on that island, literally brother was fighting against brother, and a third, like less than a half of the people were going to survive. And an angel of the Lord had taken me in my dreams, an angel. So I always say of the Lord because it sounds more, you know, almighty somehow. But an angel took me, and I couldn't see the angel, but I felt it, and it was holding my hand, and I was astral projecting with it. And I saw the angel's robe, and his hand kind of waved over and showed me, like, look at there, pointing things out. Kind of like in, you know, the Scrooge story. But it was just kind of like that my dream was like that. And I don't know if it was my spirit guide or an angel, but I felt like it was an angel. And the angel showed me that people were fighting against each other. Brother went up against brother. And when that happened, like over half the people died on the planet, was how I interpreted it. Now I don't know if it's just in that region or not. But it's really freaky because when I was shown that, the seas were completely red. All, like every place we went, the oceans were red. And it wasn't just algae bloom. I don't know if it was blood. I don't know what it was. It was really, really freaky. So this gave me the chills to see these images on YouTube today because it is exactly like my dream. I mean, I had that dream in 1997. I think I even actually wrote it on the internet. There was like a prophetic dreams page. I don't even know if it's still around, but I said, okay, I you know, it was like for prophesying the end of the world through people's dreams, and everyone wrote their dreams, and I wrote my dream on that website. So I don't know. Now I want to go look it up. See if that website even exists still. But that was kind of a biblical thing. Oh, but wait, there's more, and we'll even throw in a set of Ginsu knives. No, we won't. No knives. No knives for you. But check this out. Oh my God. If it wasn't enough that we're now having the seas turning red and locust plagues, not only through Iran and Saudi Arabia and Jerusalem and the whole of all the holy lands have been plagued by locusts. Well, now we're having wildfires in Jerusalem. Were there even trees in Jerusalem? I didn't even know that until today, that there's actually a forest, like beautiful pine trees. Not so much now. Wildfires outbreak. It took them a couple hours to get it out, but it looks like it's almost out now. This just happened in the past few days. Pretty much between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, the forest was on fire. They had to evacuate over 3,500 people, and over a dozen homes were lost, unfortunately. So I'm sad for those people who lost their homes, and no one was hurt or killed, thank you God. But these are the forests that are in the central part of Israel. And the thing that really disturbs me about this, though, first of all, of course this is going to happen when there's a record heat wave. It's been like upwards of 100 degrees Fahrenheit or 37.5 degrees Celsius. It is unseasonably hot in that part of the world right now. If it's 37.5 is what it is now, but it is normally 26 Celsius. So that's really, really crazy, right? That's freaky. So it's super, super hot, which means everything super dry in very, very easy conditions to start a wildfire, as happened in my old hometown and in Malibu and in all the places we've been having fires. But usually you don't hear forest fires in Mexico or Israel, and that just happened. So one thing, though, that disturbs me is that apparently from the Gaza Strip, because of the way the wind was blowing, somebody or several somebodies, we don't know, of course, but they were putting incendiary devices launched from the Gaza Strip into the air, and then they were kind of gliding over in these little silk parachutes towards the forest. So hats off to the evil genius who thought of that one, but at the same time, or I should say my evil hat off to them, I don't know. I mean, we all have a wicked streak, and we can kind of see the humor, and I mean, it's like something on Spy versus Spy from Mad Magazine. This is not, I mean, this is like literally something that you would see in like a movie, like a comedy movie, like Top Secret or something. Like, I can't believe they're doing this. Let's just burn up the forest in like another city. Like, what? That makes no sense. I mean, maybe they didn't expect the wind to carry. They didn't check the report that day. Do they have a wind report in Israel? Maybe, probably, most likely. Crazy stuff, right? I mean, oh my God. But still, at the same time, these guys that did this, or women, I don't know who they are. It's crazy. Why would anyone do that? I mean, they're just creating havoc for people that have nothing to do with them, because it's being carried away to, you know, like a city away. So I don't know. I hope they catch a person doing that, and I hope that they prevent the rest of the forest fires. So off of that one and on to a story that takes place on the Jersey Shore. Yeah. They're going to start a new show called The Real Jellyfish Housewives of the Jersey Shore. No, they're not. Not really. On the Jersey Shore, there has been a huge, huge invasion of the jellyfish known as the clinging jellyfish. I don't know. Sounds like they're emotionally codependent. There's a lot of Jersey Shore jokes if I'd ever seen the show. I'm sure I could have come up with a lot of Jersey Shore jokes if I'd ever seen that show. I don't watch reality TV. But oh my God, I can't believe this, but Professor Bologna of Montclair College took his students out to the ocean to test the waters, and they were looking for them because they've come in by the thousands. And these are very dangerous, toxic jellyfish. They have a very lethal toxin in them that create paralysis. And they're really tiny, and there's so many of them that if you go swimming, well, I don't want to, you know, I shudder to think what would happen. Okay, I have a horrible accent. But this is so crazy because these little guys are smaller than a half an inch. I mean, what's that, 1.26, I don't know, centimeters, I don't know. I do the math yourself, I don't know. The half an inch is very tiny. And they came in by the thousands. If you swim in the wrong beach, so they were testing. Professor Bologna is known, he's from Montclair University or college. I don't know if it's, I think it's university. Anyway, he is known as Professor Jellyfish. He's an expert in this area. And so he and his students went from beach to beach to beach to beach to see which ones were safe. So they're testing for these jellyfish. Now, I think that would be horrible to swim in the wrong place right now in Jersey. Whoa. I was in the Gulf of Mexico, and I was swimming off the coast of a teeny tiny island right next to Bahia de Los Angeles. I stayed there for 2 weeks, and we went out in the Kodiak quite a bit, and we did a lot of testing. It was with a marine biology class, and there's one island we went to, and everyone wanted to go on a swim around the island because it was a small island, but it was like a lot of exercise, and everyone did it except me and this other woman. I'm like, I have asthma and I can't swim very well. I'm definitely going to be eaten by a shark or something, so forget it. and my friend, well, she was on her period, and she knew she would definitely be eaten by a shark. So we decided to hang back, and then so we were swimming around the lagoon, though. And while I was in the lagoon, I did not see it, but I'm sure I touched jellyfish like this or something. And my pinky finger, it stung me, and it was like a little teeny tiny plankton like jellyfish. And there was a lot of plankton in the area because we saw a lot of whales. So that's how you know when there's a lot of plankton, because they come for the food, for the, you know, the free buffet, of course. So it stung my little baby finger on my hand, on my right hand, and I was paralyzed. That finger only, though, was paralyzed all the way up to my elbow for about 8 hours. Possibly 12. So I can't even imagine like going into water, like diving into water, and your whole body is hit by that. And it's incredibly painful. It's intensely painful. And the jellyfish only have this toxin so that they can make the fish numb that they're going to eat, because then they eat fish, smaller fish than them. Yeah, I guess there's fish smaller than half an inch. That's kind of crazy, right? Anyway, so I thought that was a really freaky story. Really freaky story. So I hope that anyone listening from Jersey, you don't get offended by my horrible accent, number one. And number two, don't go swimming in the water unless you know for sure that there's nothing that's going to hurt you, because that would ruin your whole week, if not your month. All right, so this one was really strange. I had a hard time kind of understanding it. I mean, like, okay, this is about Nibiru, Planet X, or Planet 9, like Plan 9 from Outer Space, one of my favorite movies, Ed Wood. It's like one of the worst movies ever made. It literally is the worst movie ever made. Absolutely, but it's still one of my favorites because it's so bad. It was meant to be serious, but it was hysterically funny. off of that. So Nibiru, okay, so scientists at Caltech and also in Michigan, University of Michigan, they believe that they're soon going to be able to discover Planet X, also known as Nibiru, within the next 10 to 15 years. They know it's on a really strange orbit, like an elliptical orbit, and it comes around to Earth, you know, like what, 20,000 years, 26,000 years or something. It's on this massive orbit. And they started noticing some stuff in the far reaches of our galaxy. Some really strange anomalies that could only happen if there is a giant like gravitational pull from a large body such as a planet in orbit. And they think they're going to be able to trace the trajectory and know exactly where Nibiru is within the next 10 to 15 years, which is like super exciting. But like any one of us who's ever read Zachariah Sitchin, we already know from his work, and you know, basically decoding the ancient Babylonian texts that were literally written in stone, I believe. Last time Nibiru was here, and I'm sure the civilization has come up since then, and they're probably not going to do this to us again. The reason why humans are oh so excited to dig for gold is because they made us slaves and forced us to dig for gold. It's in the ancient Babylonian texts. If you go look up Zachariah Sitchin, you will be absolutely shocked if you never heard of this before. Okay? And if you heard of this before, you're nodding your head going, yep, heard that on Art Bell. Yep, that was on Coast to Coast AM. Yep. I remember Zachariah Sitchin being interviewed by Art Bell. God rest both of their souls. Yeah, it's pretty crazy stuff. So it's just the anomalies and the outreaches of our galaxy. And they do believe that it is approaching Earth again. And they claim that it will reach Earth, but there will be no consequences. It won't slam into our planet. It won't hurt us. It'll be fine. Well, I'm sorry, honey. No consequences? How about making the whole human race slaves and making us dig for gold for them? How about all their genetic modification they did to us? It's in the Bible, even. And behold, the gods looked upon the daughters of men and found that they were beautiful, and they bred with them. Yeah, you know what those gods are? They're little g gods. They were gods compared to humans 26,000 years ago or whatever, but however, maybe it's 12,000. I don't even know what the trajectory is. I will have to look that up later, but they didn't say in this report, which was weird. But what's really bizarre about this, how could they say there's not going to be consequences? We don't know what they're going to do to us this time. Probably nothing. Like I said, maybe they've spiritually grown. Maybe they blew up their own planet and the planet's going rogue. It's just going all over the galaxy. I don't know. Not rogue, but I mean, without the people on it now. Maybe they all ascended and they're higher up in vibration now. I don't know. It's freaky though, right? All right, so it makes me a little nervous. I hope it's not coming back, you know, too soon. So, still in space with our heads in the clouds in the upper atmosphere and outside of Earth atmosphere entirely, there will be a flyby. An asteroid is going to fly by Earth. It's called asteroid KW4. Can we just call this one Willie? Willie's coming. Where's Willie? Willie's on his way. He'll be here on Sunday. It is an asteroid that is 1.8 miles wide. That's a huge rock. That's a big one. It's going to be here Sunday, May 26th. That's right, in 2 days. We're going to have this massive flyby. And again, the scientists say, yeah, there will be no consequences. It'll just, some, you know, might be visible in the sky, possibly. Okay. The next time it will visit us, will be May 25th, 2036. I don't know where in the sky to look for it. The report failed to mention that, or even if it will be visible to the naked eye. Maybe you have to wear sunglasses or glasses or a pair of telescopes up to your eyes. I don't know. I hope, though, that NASA gets some good pictures of it, and they might be streaming live like they do. And if you go to the YouTube NASA channel, it's a good channel. Actually, I've sat and watched it for a while. Every now and again, I watch NASA, see what they're up to. So it's kind of, I find it relaxing. It's very weird. Like, especially when they're fixing, then they're doing a spacewalk on the outside of the space station, and they have to fix something. Oh, it's so scary. After watching that Sandra Bullock movie, it is terrifying, to be honest. So that's like my thrill ride for the month. Every time they do something like that, I have to watch it. All right, now this is a really back down to earth. In fact, back down to southern Texas, earthquakes in southern Texas have been increasing. The United States government, is it services? No, it's not United States. It's, I don't know. God, what does USGS stand for? Darn it. Why am I forgetting this? I knew this like an hour ago. U.S. Geological Survey. Why was I thinking seismic? Anyway, yes, that's what it is. U.S. Geological Survey scientists have said that in the past week, we've had 4 low magnitude earthquakes in southern Texas. They've been near the town of Smiley and Westhoff and Gillette. So they've been like a 3.0, a 3.1, and a 3.1, and then they didn't see what the fourth one was. But what's really freaky is 600% is how much the earthquakes have increased in Texas, in this region. So in the past couple of years, earthquake seismic activity has increased by 600%. God, ooh, it took me a while to get that one out. Sorry about that, guys. So this is really, really strange. There are these wells that are salt water wells that they put on the land, and they think that maybe they're seeping in. That, along with the gas and the oil drilling in the area, they think is what is accounting for the 600% increase in earthquakes. So these have happened, it was in less than 2 weeks, there have been 4 earthquakes. And this was just reported like a couple days ago. Now, we're gonna end on a really weird one, talking about Earth, but going back up to the moon. There was a California cheese commercial years ago that said, we went to the moon in 1967, or no, I think, was it 68, 69, I don't know. I remember seeing the footage when I was a kid thinking it was happening at that moment. I thought it was in 1969, but then I have heard it in 67. Anyway, in the 60s, we went to the moon. And we found out the moon was not made of cheese, and we've never been back since. I thought that was a clever advertising campaign. I was like, oh, why did I not think of that one? That is great. That was so great. And that was for California cheese. Okay. It's cheesy, I know. But really, no one really gave a crap about going to the moon after we went to the moon. We went up there, had a little spacewalk, planted our flag, and bada boom, bada bing, we came back. Everything's fine. Well, I mean, that was Apollo 11, but Apollo 13 didn't go so well. We've all seen the movie. Don't number anything with 13. Hello. Death. That's a number of death. Why they did that, I don't know. Could have skipped it. Could have said 14. But no. So suddenly, according to Tyler of Secure Team 10 channel on YouTube, he is asking the question, why are we suddenly in a rush to get back to the moon? All these massive countries, as well as now private space organizations, are suddenly cropping up. And we're not even talking about Elon Musk, because he's got his head set on going to Mars, which I've seen all the movies. It's scary as hell. All, what the writers have proposed could possibly happen. What can go wrong? Nothing can go wrong. Yes, so many things could go wrong. Even if you ever seen the old movie from the, like, was it the 80s, Dune? Sandworms. We don't even know if there's sandworms there. Oh, God. Oh, don't even get me started on sandworms. But why are we in a rush to go back to the moon? He's right. What the fuck are they thinking? Why are we going to go to the moon? I mean, other than bouncing around, that would be so fun. But, I mean, they're like not thinking we're going to go visit. They're thinking we're going to live on the moon. Not all of us. But they're thinking about it, making moon colonies. Now, the United States, Russia, India, China, Israel, and more are all now talking about getting to the moon. They're like racing to get to the moon to start moon colonies before the year 2029. Why? Why? Can you even grow plants up there? It's kind of weird. So this is really, really freaky, this story. So Jeff Bezos is talking about breakaway civilizations, where chunks of people just break away, go live on the moon. Now, on May 9th at 4 o'clock in Washington, D.C., the CEO of Amazon, Jeff Bezos, uncovered his Blue Moon lander. He's already built it. He had a model on stage, and he showed everyone what his lander is going to look like. He says that it has been 3 years in the making of this lander. They've done it. They've made it. He is planning a moon landing in 5 years, 2024. And he says, it's time to go back to the moon, and it's time to stay. What? Really? He is going to live on the moon? Or who's he sending to the moon? His ex-wife? Oh my God. That's kind of like throwback sexist humor from the 60s. Sorry about that. All my Mad Men references. Okay. But I mean, okay. He wants to set up moon bases. He has a company he started called Blue Origin. He is the founder of Blue Origin. And that's the company that's going to take us to the moon and create a civilization. He proposed domes. He had all these sketches and schematics, and he showed in Washington, D.C. And his timeline is right on track with what Mike Pence said, according to Tyler of Secure Team, just like a year ago or something, or half a year ago, Mike Pence was talking about going to the moon. This is getting really strange, guys. Why? Why? They're going to put domes, and then they're going to be self-sustainable communities under these domes, with little dome houses under that, where whole families could just live on the moon. Like the Jetsons, I suppose. So these self-sustaining habitats or domes, I think they want to start them in 5 years. I know that overpopulation is a problem. I know that people are seeking solutions. But the moon? Really? This is another weird thing. Like, what did they expect is going to happen? They can't get enough people in that mountain in Montana that's supposedly a secret that we all know about. If the big asteroid comes back, is it because of Nibiru coming back? What is it? They also sent, launched into space to the moon, literally, 30 million pages on a golden disc. It was sent to the moon. It's an archive, a 30 million page library. They say it is a civilization backup to preserve the human civilization. It was about the size of a DVD, and it is a metal disc, and it's golden color. And it's an archive of all of humanity. Why do they suppose we're going to need that? What are they thinking? Is it just an insurance policy? Just in case? Is it because they know something that we don't? Is it because of the problems with Iran? The threat that the Cheeto president is making to go to war? The threat, the doomsday people saying we're going to have a nuclear war? What do they suppose? What are they supposing? What are they planning? What do they know? These are the questions I've been asking myself since I heard the story. I honestly believe that we will not have nuclear war. This is one thing I didn't tell you guys about Grandma Marion, but I did ask her if she sees if we'll ever have nuclear war. She tried to look into the future. She could not see past 2012, but she said, I don't think we're going to have nuclear war. Paramahansa Yogananda said, we're not going to ever have nuclear war. Swami Sri Yukteswarji, Paramahansa Yogananda's teacher, said, we're never going to have a nuclear war, don't worry. The nuclear war that ends all of civilization. So I asked God just now. He said, no, we're not going to, it's not going to happen. I don't believe it's going to happen. A lot of UFOs have been seen around nuclear plants. When there were meltdowns, and except for Japan, I mean, most of the things have been contained. Chernobyl, which is really strange, there's animals living there. I just saw a documentary. I couldn't believe it. I mean, there's like all the places that where humans can't go, all these animals are living there now. The forest is overtaking the buildings, apartment buildings and such. But I don't think there's going to be nuclear war. I don't want to end this on a doomsday prophecy thing. I don't believe that's what's happening. I think maybe they just want to preserve human civilization just to preserve it. In case, because we're having so many fires and floods and tornadoes and hurricanes and locusts and lions and bears, oh my, jellyfish, frogs. I mean, maybe they think it's probably better off on the moon, but the moon is shrinking. There's no tectonic plates on the moon. There have been a lot of moonquakes lately. I don't know why they want to live there. There's no volcanoes, I don't believe. The core of the moon is cooling off, which would make the surface of the moon a lot cooler. I don't know where they're, I guess they'll just use solar power, right? Solar power. I don't know. I don't know, guys. But I do know that we are raising up into the fifth dimension. And I feel like we are, yo, hashtag soul tribe, hashtag soul family. Us, we are on a different timeline than some of these doomsdayer things, okay? I don't believe it's going to be in our lifetimes, a nuclear disaster or whatever. I saw an Arcturian ship today. I heard an Arcturian voice in my room today. I believe with my whole heart that they have the technology to come here. They have the technology to save us from ourselves. And I, when I say us, I use the term loosely, from, you know, the 20 people ruling the whole planet with really stupid ideas. Jeff Bezos, he's eccentric, just like Elon Musk. I don't know. You get to be a billionaire, suddenly you're eccentric AF. That's okay. It's cool. I love it. It's cool. Jeff Bezos was down here in this city where I live, like, I don't know, like a year or two ago. My friend met him. My friend worked for him for a time. In fact, he was going to try to get me a pretty decent salary working on some projects. And I have no idea what the projects were. It had nothing to do with the moon. It was something else. He told me it was just something. It was so boring that I couldn't even hear it when he said it. 5 seconds later, I completely forgot what he said. It was that. It was like something to do with computers. And I was just like, I think I almost passed out. It was so boring. I'm just, it's like, give me a project where I'm going to paint a mural on a wall, or I'm going to entertain you with really insane stories from my life. You know, I don't know. I could write you a movie script. I could write you a book, but don't give me a project working on computers. Oh my God. It just, it's like so boring. It's going to kill me of boredom. Anyway, I don't know. Are we going to go to the moon? Do you guys want to live on the moon? Yay, let's go to the moon. I want to go. I mean, just for like the weekend. One of the time travelers talked about going to the moon. We're going to talk about that later, but he did say that some of his friends had gone to the moon and they loved it. By 2030, some of his friends, or 2033 or something, I don't know, this is a different time travel, not Noah, a different one. He came from a little bit later, but he said, yeah, my friends have been going to the moon for years. It's like their vacation every year, or every other year they go to the moon. So that's pretty cool, right? Space hotel, that would be cool. Anyway, I don't know. Has this been a freaky enough Friday for you guys? I hope so. I love you guys with my whole heart. And thank you for being my listener and for being loyal as a subscriber to me. I'm so grateful to have you on this freaky, freaky journey we are on right now. But right now, that's all I gotta say. So I'm signing off with peace and joy and love, dreaming of the moon and the high vibes of the holy fifth dimension. Until next time. Metaphysical Soul Speak is run on sponsors and listener support. This means listeners like you. If you are so inclined to support my efforts and my little podcast, please visit me at anchor.fm/metaphysical and pledge an amount of your choosing today. Thank you.